such a joy to be back again at Mount Carmel and to be with you. And we trust that the Lord will meet with us today and that He'll give us a bless and to speak to our hearts. I certainly need your prayers. I tell you many times that I feel like I'm the least that the Lord ever dealt with. In the 12th chapter of the book of John, beginning with the 20th verse, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew, and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world come, and now shall the prince of this world be judged, be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he would die. This is scripture that I have meditated on in the last couple of days quite a bit, and I thought about and saw some things that I had never saw before in this. Very, very familiar scripture to all of you. I think you need to get the kind of the setting of this first of all. In the 10th chapter, he had given the good shepherd. In the 11th chapter, he had raised Lazarus. In the 12th chapter, he had attended the supper at Bethany, and Mary had anointed him with her hair and with the alabaster box and all. And then on the next day, people that were come to the feast where they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So this was the day after the supper in Bethany, and it was the day of the feast. And I want you to catch this picture. The Jews were ready to crucify him. The Romans had nothing whatsoever to say after they had tried to kill him at his birth and had persecuted him so much through his life. And now all of a sudden, I haven't found a thing that the Romans did here. And then the Gentiles, these Greeks, came to him seeking him at the very time that the Jews were going to crucify him. I like that. He always is going to get his glory and his praise from somebody. And of course, this part of the Gentiles, it enlightened the Gentiles and many, many things that we could say about that, but we'll not take time to it. But there are some things I want you to notice about this also. You would think that when these Greeks came to the Philip and said, notice that they were very meek and very pleading in what they said. They didn't they desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We desire to see Jesus." That's the way it was presented to them. Wasn't they demanding things? "We come here to see Jesus," but they were pleading that they could see Jesus. I think it's amazing that they were looking to see Jesus when the Jews were ready to kill him and get rid of him and get him out of the midst. And you'd think that Philip here would then have went right straight to the Lord and said, "Hey, Jesus, there's a bunch of Greeks over here that want to see you. And will you go talk to them?" But he didn't do that. Now, you know, there's a reason for everything that he does. And remember that he had told them that "I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he had also told them, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles nor the city of Samaria, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So as far as Philip was concerned, these Gentiles had no right to him. They were just outcasts, and they were dogs they were looked upon as the dogs that just messed up from the table. And so he didn't run to him, but he went to Andrew. And I think he must have went there seeking Andrew's advice on how are we going to approach this. You remember what he said? Don't go into "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," and then told us to not go into the cities of Samaria and to the Gentiles, but to just go to Israel and to the lost sheep. He wasn't sent at all to Israel, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I like that, how he makes such a distinction between them. He must have went him seeking his advice on what to say, and then they went to see Jesus, and I'm amazed at how this thing comes out. And notice the 22nd verse, and again Andrew and Philip, they went and told and tell Jesus. They told him what had happened. And instead of him saying, "Well, bring him to me," notice what he said. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." What a opening. What a message that he gave to them. You remember he had told his parents and had told them or other times, the hour that he's talking about is mentioned several times in the Scripture. And he said, "My hour is not yet come." It isn't time. My hour is not yet come. But here he tells these Philip and Andrew, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified." Boy, I'll tell you, when I think of this, him facing the cross, and to him, that was his glory. When he was looking at the cross, that was the glory he was talking about. "I'm going to die for my elect, and I want to get them," and more about that later. But he said, "The Son of Man shall be glorified." I think so much. "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." I like the fact that every time you drop a grain of corn into the ground, you're witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of us. That grain of corn goes into the ground, and in that grain is life. It dies, and out of that dead grain comes life. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus Christ. They crucified him and laid him in the grave, in the tomb. But he came out. When that corn of wheat there fell into the ground, it purchased and paid the price for every one of God's elect and made sure that they would be with him in heaven. In other words, he accomplished enough there, and I do love this. He accomplished enough in his death to fill heaven with all of God's elect. Boy, I tell you, that's a lot to think about. He got every one of them. Said he's going to take them to heaven. He's going to fill it up with his elect. They're all going to be there. None of them's going to be left.
Amen.
That corn of wheat that fell into the ground brought out, made provisions for every one of his elect to be in heaven. Man, if that don't ring your bell, I don't know what would. That just thrills my heart when I think about what He accomplished. No wonder He said, "The Son of Man shall be glorified." The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Not only that, He was glorified. Wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I want to give you some more thoughts here. He said that it bringeth forth much fruit. Boy, it brought forth an abundance of fruit. It brought forth abundance of fruit. Every one of His elect. Not a one of them was left out. Every one of them will be in heaven. Because He died for them there. That corn of wheat fell into the ground. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that keepeth his life in this world shall keep it until life eternal. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it in life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into the world. Now is my soul troubled. This was the beginning of Gethsemane, when he went out and sweated until he became as great drops of blood in the agony he was going through. You say he was dreading the cross. The only reason he was dreading the cross was because he was God. He couldn't die. Until he took upon him the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that we could be made the righteousness of God. Yes. Oh, God. When I think of this, it just touches my heart beyond words. Father, save me from this hour. I have my soul troubled. He was troubled because he was going to take upon him the sin of the world. Fellowship was going to be broken with the Father. The only time in eternity that it'll ever happen. And he was doing it for you and I. Amen. For his elect. And he brought forth every one of them. Father, listen to this. Glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. He said, Son, I've already glorified it and I'm going to glorify it again. You say, when's he going to do it again? He's dying. He's going to do it at the resurrection. Turn to Romans, the 6th chapter. If I can find it here right quick, I'd like to read it to you. I could probably maybe quote the most of it, but I might miss some of it. Romans, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. What did the Father say? I have glorified it and I'm going to glorify it again. He glorified it when he came out of the grave. He came out by the glory of the Father. The Bible teaches that he came out of it under himself, that he came out of it by the Father, and that he was raised by the Spirit. It teaches all three of them had a hand in it. But the Father said, I have glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. And he did. He brought him out of the grave. He didn't leave him there. Never would he have done that. It was his Son. You think I don't love my Son? Boy, you mess with him and you find out. He loved his Son too. Never turned his back on him. Never deserted him. Turned his back on him. The only time that fellowship was ever broken was when he took upon him the likeness of sinful man and died for the sins of man. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. I want to give you something else right here. I like this. Three times in his ministry, the Father spoke from heaven. The first time was at his baptism. The second time was at his transfiguration. And the third time was here. The first time he was assuming the office of prophet, he was prophet, priest, and king. The first time that he spoke was at the confirmation on his baptism when he was going to assume the office of prophet. The second time was at his transfiguration, and that was when they were talking about his decease or his death, and he was going after that to assume the office of priest. And here, the people have just lined the streets with their palms and their leaves. They cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David, save us now." That's what the word Hosanna means. And they were honoring him as king. And here, the Father is honoring him as king also, and he spoke from heaven. And the people said, "It must have thundered." You know, in John 8:43, he said, "You do not understand what I say, because you cannot. He didn't say you will not. He says, "You don't understand what I'm saying, because you cannot understand my words." The only way you can understand his words is your ears be open.
Right.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, I'm getting so much out here outlined. I mean, it's amazing to me what God can take just a few verses of this thing and just fill your heart beyond things that you cannot express.
Yeah.
The people heard it, said it thundered. You remember when Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus and God come down and struck him there and the light shone around him and the people were with him. They saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. They heard it, but they couldn't understand what it was saying. The 22nd chapter tells you that. But they didn't understand what was happening, what he was saying. You can't hear the words of the Lord until your ears are open. There has to be a resurrection to place life in these dead eyes that we have. And until it's there, we're dead. "Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin hath he quickened." And you cannot understand the words of the Lord until the ears have been opened and the eyes have been opened, you can't see anything. Boy, I got to quit. Jesus answered and they that thundered, and others said, "An angel spake unto him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. I want you to catch this before that I sit down here. And now is a judgment of this world come. You know, this world was left under judgment when the Prince of Life was crucified. And when he died there on the cross, I like this. Let me give you this. When he died there on the cross, this thing went both ways. It went back to the time of Adam, and it went forward to the time. That's how efficient his death was. It went back to the day of Adam, and it went forward to the last day. In other words, he accomplished it all. He is the only redeemer that man has. Ain't no quitting place in this thing, preacher. Just ain't no quitting place in it. There is no redeemer except Christ. The only redeemer that they are is Jesus Christ. And then he said, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." I got thoughts on that, but I'm not going to give them to you. I got some thoughts on that. Bob will say this. I believe it's progressive. That all of it didn't happen there. It started at the cross. That's when that he conquered Satan. But he's going to be cast out of heaven one day. And I don't mean he's in heaven now in the presence of God, but not in the third heaven, but he's there. Prince of the power of the air. And he said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now he was lifted up, but he didn't mean, and he doesn't mean always, and in John 6th chapter, he said, and all men shall be taught of God. He wasn't talking about every man that ever lived. He was talking about every one of his elect. And here he's not talking about all men that ever lived. He's still talking about all of his elect children. Every one of them. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I told you he got all of them. Boy, I'm glad he did. He didn't leave a one of them. He accomplished it. When that grain of wheat went into the ground, it accomplished everything that God the Father intended for it to conquer. Everyone that the Father had given him will be with him in glory one day. God bless you. I got to quit. But notice, he said, and notice, I'll draw all men unto me. This signified, this he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how saith that the Son of Man be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? You see, they didn't know who he was. They didn't, some of them didn't know who he was talking to, but his elect did. His children did. And his children still hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and that of a stranger they'll not follow, he said, in the 10th chapter of this book. God bless you. Thank you so much for your attention. Amen.